From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour is made in a chair outside Jabba's Cafe, where one of Rochester's most well-known musicians smiles into a camera. Our connection is made on the pavement of Scio Street with the word Enough, painted in various skin tones by one of Rochester's most well-known artists. And it's made in a forthcoming series of chatbooks where the stories of both of these men will be highlighted. In This Moment, Revolution, Reckoning, and Reparation is the title of a new project curated by Black Voices and featuring Black Voices. A team of writers and photographers are working with local Black leaders to tell their stories, stories which the project's organizers say are historically undervalued. You'll recognize some of the names, and perhaps others will be new to you. The forthcoming book series will be presented by the Visual Studies Workshop. What we've seen so far is remarkable, and so is the work going on behind the scenes. That's why we've invited members of the team to join us this hour to discuss their art and their stories. I'd like to welcome our guest joining us now, Amanda Chestnut, curator of In This Moment. Amanda, welcome back to the program.
Thank you so much for having me, Evan. I appreciate it.
And Jean Strazabasco is a producer of In This Moment. Hi, Jean. Thanks for being with us.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you, Evan.
We're going to welcome some other voices as we go throughout this hour, but let's just start with the mission. Amanda, I'll start with you. You know, I did my best to kind of give the overview, but I'm not even sure some listeners will know what chatbooks are and where this kind of work will end up being manifested. So take us through what's happening and why and where the end product is going to be.
We are producing chatbooks are usually thought of as a small, brief book. They're kind of sometimes thought of as easily distributed ways of publishing. It's not a fine art form, but a way of producing material that can be rapidly and easily and cheaply distributed. So we're going to make one chapbook for each leader, and then present them out, distribute them out in the Rochester community, and the chapbooks will be available for free. People are donating money to support the project, and those who do donate will receive their chapbooks in the mail, so they don't have to go looking for each one of the 10 to complete their series.
Okay, and whether it's a curator, a producer, an artist, you know, I sometimes ask what you hope the public will get out of a piece or a book or a piece of art. And I know that people receive things in different ways, but is there something that you're hoping will land with the public on this, Amanda?
I am hoping with this project to elevate and commemorate Black voices and Black actions for a Black audience, and then also to educate white audiences and other folks about the work and leadership and art that the Black community in Rochester is doing.
Jean, how do you see the mission of In This Moment?
I agree with everything Amanda said. And full disclosure, I am white. And I would add to the education piece, how this came to me this past summer, and it was really through the murder of George Floyd. And it collided with a young man named Adam Eaton posting beautiful photo portraits on Facebook. And Adam asked to be my friend. And he started posting these beautiful images, stunning images, painful images of Black men and women draped in red. And they moved me so much that I needed to find something to do from my white platform. And I always believed images and storytelling are the way into your heart and your mind. So going back to the white audience, It sounds kind of silly to say, oh, we have to educate the white audience, but we really do. And I've had to educate myself on all that we've been missing out on when we kind of self-isolate in our primarily white suburban spaces, where there's suburbs, where we eat, where we drink. And my goal is to, with Amanda, is to widen white people's worldview and I include myself, and I hope that doesn't come across as a, you know, a slam against white folks. It's just we're all on a journey, and everyone could start widening that worldview. And I really believe that these images and these stories are going to land in our white community. And we're all going to say, oh, my God, what have I been missing out on? And do something about it.
Well, and, you know, Amanda, I want to follow up with you on Jean's point there about trying to be introspective, trying to get educated about different perspectives. I think there is a real difference between actually doing that kind of work. That's one thing versus kind of woke virtue signaling that seeks to kind of gain woke cred, even if you haven't really done the work or tried to understand what it means to be educated, to listen, to understand different perspectives. And this strikes me as very substantive, as the kind of substantive work that could actually evolve and change perspectives. I wonder how you see it, Amanda.
I hope very much that it does. I think our the first two leaders that we are profiling are, as you mentioned, Sean Dunwoody and Herb Smith, and they are, out of the list of folks that we're profiling, some of the most recognizable. But in the essays and photographs, looking at the first project that came in was Sean's, and I, as someone who has worked on projects with Sean before, I've served on committees with Sean. I've sat side by side with him, big tables full of people, and we've been the only two Black people in the room. Like, I should know Sean, and I learned things about Sean from this essay. Tate Shaw, who's the director of VSW, who we are publishing these books through, said that when he looked at Arturo Hoyt's photographs of Sean, he was able to see both Sean and his artwork in a way that he had never seen or understood them before, just from the photographs. So I think that there's a lot of space for growth for everyone through this project, and I do hope that the work is substantial enough that there will be those opportunities.
So I'm going to do this multiple times throughout the hour, so listeners who are coming in at various points can understand where to find this kind of work, because in a moment we're going to bring in Herb and Jackie. But before we do that, Amanda Chestnut, who's a curator of In This Moment, again, for listeners who are going to want to see this, where and how?
The project is available on Visual Studies Workshop's website. Is it vsw.org? I don't know. And I'm on my phone, which is where I would usually.
I will find it, and we will post it on our platforms for sure. Okay.
And I have been sharing behind-the-scenes images from my personal social media platforms on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at @BLK_Amanda.
And by the way, I've got confirmation from producer Megan Mack that you had the correct website.
Oh, good. VFW.org.
VFW.org. There you go. And I know the people involved are being paid, and that matters to you. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah. This project started with Jean's generosity. She, because of COVID, had a canceled vacation. And this whole project has been an illustration of not the performative allyship that you were speaking about previously, but the kind of true allyship where people who have some kind of means are very much willing to put that money into hands that they trust, and we're getting back beautiful art and beautiful stories for it. Jean used her canceled vacation money to help get the ball rolling, and since then the Rochester community has really stepped up in a big way. We're about 30% funded with the first, actually we might be closer to 50% now. I think we're about 50, oh my goodness, we're about 50% funded with the first phase of the project, which is enough money to pay all of our artists, all of our writers, all of our leaders. We're moving into production, so we're paying an editor. We're hiring a Black graphic designer. We're looking at Black printing companies. So with the Visual Studies Workshop providing fiduciary oversight, we're able to have the support of the Rochester community go right back into the hands of leaders and artists in the Rochester community.
Mm. Jean, a canceled vacation. It was the first seed of this. I heard you laughing.
I don't want anyone to get terribly excited. I mean, it was. We were going to go to Italy, but, you know, don't get excited. I'm a retired teacher, so I don't want you to think, you know, big, deep pockets. I'm lucky to know some folks with deep pockets, and they've been very helpful. But, Evan, you scared me when you said woke virtue signaling. I'm like, holy cow, I hope that's not what I'm coming across.
No, I hope I was highlighting that I think there are differences. I mean, there's always sort of competing voices trying to signal certain things in social spaces, but you know, the work of being an actual ally and learning and being introspective, I think it's been very fairly highlighted as more than just posting a sign in a yard or posting a slogan or a hashtag on Twitter is kind of what I mean, if that makes sense to you, Jean.
Absolutely, yes. And, you know, you talked about the work, and the work that I've been doing is from reading to being in exploring racism groups to Surge Rochester. And when my white fragility showed up during this project, I could reach out to my friends who are Black and say, well, hey, what's going on? And then, you know, I'm feeling, I don't know, left out. And they said, well, do you want to be a true ally? I said, of course I do. And they said, then you need to get out of the way and you need to listen and you need to listen more.
And here we are. Jean Straza-Bosco is the producer of In This Moment, Amanda Chestnut, curator of In This Moment. And I want to bring in a photographer. Jackie McGriff is with us on the line. Hi, Jackie.
Hi, nice to be here.
Great to have you back here. And Herb Smith, the trumpeter with the Rochester Philharmonic Orchestra. Herb, always nice to talk to you. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you very much for having me.
Well, so producer Megan Mack has been telling me, Amanda Chestnut, she said, you've got to see Jackie's work. It's stunning. But before we even talk to Jackie and Herb about what they have been doing, Amanda, can you just remind us again how you end up with Herb, and we'll talk about Sean later this hour, but how Herb ends up being part of this?
Jean and I sat down and brainstormed a very long list of folks who we perceived as engaging in all sorts of leadership through different sectors in Rochester. We wanted to make sure that we had a range of bodies and ages and gender expression and we and all industries, and once we built this dream list, we started to narrow it down by saying who could use a platform, who would really need their work uplifted, who has spent a significant amount of time doing some really significant work that might be unnoticed otherwise. We didn't want to highlight folks who could write an op-ed and have it published on every platform in the city. We wanted to highlight folks who needed their work elevated. And the phrase that I use often in the last couple of weeks is that leadership isn't always loud. I wanted to look for folks who had been engaged in work for the sake of doing the work, because it was right, because it was just, because they love this city.
Jackie McGriff, as a photographer, what did you want people to see in Herb Smith?
I wanted them to see basically everything that we had been talking about. So our team, so myself, Herb, and our writer, Taurus, we had all gotten together a couple times and just had conversations about, you know, like some of the things he's been through, some of the frustrations he's been through and everything. And like in this moment, just talking about being the only Black person in the RPO. I mean, it's insane the number of years that he's been there, and he's still the only one. And being a fan of the RPO, I was just like astounded that, you know, there have been, we're not without talent. And what I wanted them to see is, again, like the frustration and the exhaustion and like trying to get more Black and brown people in these spaces, in these areas. And, you know, I'm proud to be, you know, someone who has, you know, access to an orchestra like the RPO and everything like that, and the Eastman School of Music and all of that. But like to see that there are not that many people in these spaces that look like me, it's insane. And what I wanted them to see is see beyond the person who's obviously a very talented trumpeter, but also like someone who is a human being, someone who has these feelings, has these thoughts, has these frustrations and stresses, you know, of being a Black man. And again, the only Black man, the only Black person at the RPO. And that's what I really wanted people to see.
Yeah, we've talked to Herb. We've talked about your life, your career, the work that you do in this community, what it represents to, I think, so many people here. So before we even kind of get back to your work that Jackie's talking about, I'd like to just ask you, you know, how are you doing this summer? I mean, since the killing of George Floyd and what has been an urgent movement that has not only been on the streets but also been in the halls of Congress, trying to make change there, trying to make change in local municipalities, trying to make change on the streets and in culture and in just about every direction. And also the pain, you know, from seeing Jacob Blake and George Floyd and so many other names. How are you this summer? What has it been like for you?
Well, I'm the thing that I kind of coined for myself is I'm mad, I'm angry, and I'm happy all at the same time. Like it's all happening in this moment, if you would say, like all three things happening at the exact same time. Because, you know, and then also it's kind of this, you know, the Quiet Riot song, "We're not gonna take it." You know what I mean? It's like so much stuff happening at the same time. I'm mad that these things are happening, that people are being killed. I'm angry in the sense that I want to do something about it, but I'm happy that it's being brought out, that there are actually some changes being made, that there are actually some of these things that have been happening in quiet corners and dark alleys are now, the light is being shown on it so people can see. So it's just a real mix. This is whole, like, you know. And then on top of that, oh, yeah, there's a pandemic, too. Mm. Yeah, okay, there's that, too. So it's a lot. It's a lot.
Are you, when you say you're mad, you're angry, and happy at the same time, what makes you happy?
What makes me happy is that there is change. That things that, I mean, like, all of the killings and injustices that we have seen recently have been going on continually. This is not like, oh, these new things are happening. These are things that have been going on continually. But now the light is being shown on it, you know? And I really do feel like we're at a place now, we're at a really pivotal time where we can really make some change. I mean, like the Confederate statues being, you know, looked into. I mean, I think that, like, that's never happened before, you know. So I really feel that there's hope. There's hope. That's what makes me happy, that I feel like there's hope.
Herb, we know Jackie.
Can I jump in for a second?
Please do. Oh, my gosh, please, yes.
This is Amanda, and I wanted to say this is, I wanted to build on what Herb was saying. This is the 57th anniversary of the March on Washington is today. And I think it's especially appropriate that we're having this conversation about this chapbook that we're calling in this moment right now, because we really want to, with this project, recognize that while this moment is important, this is momentum that has been building for those 57 years. This is a moment that many of us have been living for our whole lives, for generations. We'll have the halls in Dorothy and Dorian, you know, will have a multi-generational chapbook as well. And to demonstrate that this moment is not a singular thing that's just right now, and having so many people coming to a new understanding of empathy for Black and brown people is exciting.
Well, we got to let Jackie go at 1:30, so I want to turn and just ask you, Jackie, you know, I'm now looking at some of your work that producer Megan Mack posted on Twitter, and it is very stirring. You know, Herb is he's an awesome guy, but you have captured him in this really poignant way in different settings.
Thank you.
Do you share his the part of him that's hopeful? Do you share it, Jackie? And do you feel that this project in this moment can add to that movement of change?
Oh, absolutely. I think what it really takes. Unfortunately, we're living through a pandemic, but I believe that it was this pandemic that really got people paying attention. I mean, you're at home, you're constantly on your computer, on your phone and everything. And so to see the shootings and the murders and everything, people who weren't waking up before are now waking up, and they're getting out, they're going out and they're having these conversations. They're actually listening. I got people texting me all over who, I had tried to talk to about this before, and now they want to have a conversation, or they've been telling me that they've been doing reading and they now understand, and they've been listening, and they've been, they've been attending protests and everything like that. And that to me has meant the absolute most, because again, before I would try to have these conversations and people didn't want to hear a word of it. And then all of a sudden it's like something just kind of kicked off and woke up and lit up inside them. And so that to me is very hopeful. That's what makes me think that things are different this time around, where lots more people are actually willing to have the conversations. I wish for more than, obviously, I love seeing, statues torn down. I mean, I made a joke that I'm seeing I think it was in Bristol in the UK, and then there was a statue of a slave owner being torn down, and I told somebody that was part of my self-care and everything like that. And I love seeing these things happen, but I think now what I'm looking more for is more of the actual the positive change in our laws and our policies and everything like that. So yeah, I do echo him, and
it's a start. Yeah, it's a start.
Well, Jackie, I got to let you go, but tell people your website if people want to see your work online. Where can they see your work, Jackie McGriff?
So they can see it. I'm on Instagram at Jackie McGriff. So that's Jackie, J-A-C-K-I-E, M as in Mary, C-G-R-I-F-F as in Frank. Or they can go to my Twitter, and it's just going to be my name again, Jackie_McGriff. I post a lot of my pictures on Twitter and Instagram, so come and find me there.
I worked with you here at XXI before this new incarnation of your career. I had no idea you could do this. This is so good.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Evan.
Thank you, Jackie. We're going to let Jackie go. But Herb, you were saying it's a start. Can you elaborate on that, what you were saying to kind of cap off Jackie's points there, Herb?
Yeah, I mean, I think sometimes people get confused when I say, I'm mad, I'm angry, and I'm happy. And I'm like, well, how can you be happy? It's like, well, I am happy, but I'm mad also. and I'm angry also. It's like, they're not mutually exclusive. You know, they're happening all at the same time, And so, yes, I'm still angry. You know, yes, I'm still mad. And yes, there is much work that needs to be done. But at the same time, the glimmer of hope makes me happy. You know, just, you know, I mean, I think about the school systems in our city. You know, I think about the delineation of, you know, these lines that create the different districts and where kids go to school and the different resources that are put to those areas. You know, I mean, there's just a lot of change. There's a lot of change that needs to happen. But what we're seeing now in the world, in this country, I don't think we've seen before. And that's very hopeful to me.
And let me just follow up with one question for you there, Herb. You know, I actually, like, in a really kind of, I don't know even how to say this without sort of sounding mushy or kind of even almost insincere, but I'm going to say it sincerely. It gives me hope to hear that you are feeling buoyed by this in a genuine way, because there are plenty of moments, especially in the recent months, where hope can feel somewhat extinguished and things can feel intractable. And when you hear, you know, the voices that don't see hope, they start to doubt that multicultural societies can function harmoniously. And the history of this planet is not very impressive when it comes to multicultural societies. and I not only want that to change, but I don't think we have a choice. You know, we are a multicultural world now, and this notion of giving up on progress seems ridiculous, because we're not all going to, I mean, look, the world has tried to self-segregate pretty hard, but we're not going to do that. I mean, that's right. It's just not the world. But when I hear that you feel buoyed, it makes me feel for a moment a little bit more buoyed. But do you look at the history of this world and find yourself thinking that it's 2020? How in the hell are we still doing this? Because you seem much more of an optimist than I am sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, people have definitely called me an optimist. I mean, that's for sure. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of like, yeah, the history of this world is, you know, notwithstanding, you know, it's possible. You know, I think it's possible. I actually think that the consciousness of this country and the consciousness of this world, believe it or not, is going up, you know, with things like the Me Too movement, Black Lives Matter. You know, there are things that have happened previously that cannot happen, like, you know, even with speech, like politically correct. Like, there's certain things you can't say now. You know, there, you can say it on air and you're instantly fired, where previously that was not. It's little things like that that to me is like, okay, it's happening. I may not see it, you know, in my lifetime, but, like, you know, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. One bite at a time.
How have I not heard that before?
Yeah.
Well, and so how do you like being photographed, by the way? Because Jackie is amazing, and her work really, and I don't use that word often, but the work is gorgeous. It's poignant. How do you like being on the receiving end of that lens, Herb?
I was blown away. I was completely blown away. Like, you know, we talked about different settings, different places where we were going to shoot, and she came up with the whole itinerary and the different places we were going to go with times and all that, trying to catch the lighting. I was blown away because she did some things that I've never done before. Like she would have me pose a certain way, not for the picture, but just so we could see the lighting in the room. And then, okay, now that I see where the lighting is here, now move here, move this. And a lot of times I was just posing for her, and she's telling me what to do, and I have really no idea what this shot was going to look like. And then, you know, come back with the shots, and I'm just like, oh, my God. Like, I didn't know that was what you were going for. I mean, it was just mind blowing. And I said this to Amanda. There's one shot that is not posted yet that just really, to me, like, summed up my life. Like, I saw the shot.
Wow.
And I just started crying, because it's just kind of, you know, as a little boy in Cincinnati, Ohio, you know, playing the trumpet, not knowing whither, and then I end up here, you know, Herb Smith, you know, in Rochester, New York. It's just amazing sometimes to think how I got from there to here. And this one shot just really, it just summed it up. It was just amazing. I'm just blown away.
All right, Herb teed it up, Amanda Chestnut. When are we going to see that shot? Tell people again where they're going to see the shot that sums up his life.
So that shot will more likely than not be included in the chapbook that we release. All of the books we are hoping to have produced by Thanksgiving. So we'll be rolling them out as we receive funding for production costs. And those books will be available for free. Right now, the tentative plan is to also have an exhibition in 2021, and highlight all of the folks. Again, highlight the prints, make fine art prints of the photographs, maybe have some of them even available for sale. That's what we're thinking about for the second phase of this project. So the chapbooks are actually only the first phase. The second phase, we're going to move into more of a fine art production, and the funds raised from the sale of those items will actually be given to Avenue Black Box.
You're hearing the curator of this project is Amanda Chestnut. Jean Strazabasco is the producer of In This Moment. It's called In This Moment, Revolution, Reckoning, and Reparation. And they've brought together artists, writers, photographers like Jackie to tell the stories and to visualize these stories of local Black leaders, to write these stories. And you're hearing when and how it's going to be delivered to the public. But Herb, I have to say before I let you go here, I always appreciate the chance to hear from you and to learn from you. I love your work on stage with the RPO for sure. But I guess I just want to say thank you. Thanks for taking the time to be with us and to share more of your story.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. And I want to thank Gene and Amanda for including me in this. It has been just a beautiful experience for me to experience myself in this way, and then to share that with the photographer and the writer, and just to be included in such company as a leader. I really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Herb.
Absolutely, Herb. Thank you.
And Jean, Amanda, the writer in this case is Tor Sivan. Is that right, Amanda?
Correct.
Okay, just want to make sure we get a shout-out in the proper direction when we see that work coming our way. All right, we're going to let Herb go. We're going to get our only break of the hour, and we're going to come back and welcome Chris Thompson, Sean Dunwoody, and we've got Amanda Chestnut and Jean Strazabasco from In This Moment, this new project coming your way, highlighting the voices and experiences of local Black leaders. Let's take that only break and come right back. I'm Evan Dawson. Monday on The Next Connections, rugged individualism, an American trait. But can we still come together as a community during a crisis? Libertarian congressional candidate Kevin Wilson joins us to talk about his work and his candidacy. In our second hour, the voices of students going back to school or going back to their computers in the fall. Students and their perspectives on Monday. This is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson, and we're welcoming Amanda Chestnut and Jean Strazabasco, the curator and producer of a project called In This Moment. You know, and Herb talked a lot about this moment. In fact, he even used that phrase, Amanda. What does this moment, you know, mean to you? I mean, does this moment say to you that our multicultural society is breaking down, or does it say that we are going through the pain that is required to move in the direction we need to go, Amanda?
Ah,
I wasn't planning on being grim today, Evan. I firmly believe that the United States was a nation founded in blood, and that without having a reckoning with our founding, with the genocide and slavery that this nation is built on, we will not be able to continue as a republic. And I do think that reckoning is what we are seeing happen right now. I think that it is revolutionary, and those are the two words that we use in the subtitle, in that we have the opportunity, like has rarely happened in our nation's history, to shape what we value as a republic and what it means to be a citizen in this country. I don't think that will mean a rending of the American spirit. I think that there are many folks who have not had to think about what this means for them, and that that is a big idea, and it can be a frightening idea. I hope that projects like the one that we're working on can help people navigate those thoughts and experiences. But I do think that ultimately we'll be a stronger union because of what's happening right now. Mm. But it's going to be messy to get there.
Mm. Jean, you agree?
I agree 100%, and I think there is some messiness happening. I know there's messiness happening in the white community, and shout out to a friend who stood with a Black Lives Matter sign in front of Town Hall in one of our suburbs for weeks and organized a Black Lives Matter sit-in until a local leader would put up some signage that said Black Lives Matter. So you know, people putting themselves on the line is happening in the white community. And what I would add is white people are less likely to turn away from this. You know, how could we turn away from the murder of George Floyd? You know, we turned away from the first 4,000, but how can we turn away? And I think less and less people are turning away from things that have been painful to the Black community forever. I also think more people are, I loved what Jackie said, you know, we are not without talent in the Black and brown community. And Black and brown people need to be in all the spaces, And I really believe that it's going to take some real courage from white leaders to the next 10 people they hire are Black or brown. You know, they're there. Hire them. Bring them in.
The new project we're talking about is called In This Moment, Revolution, Reckoning, and Reparation. And this is a chance to highlight and elevate the voices of local Black leaders. You heard Herb Smith earlier this hour. Sean Dunwoody is an artist who is on the line with us now, and it's always nice to have Sean. Sean, welcome back to the program. How are you?
Great to be on. Welcome, everyone. How you doing?
Very good.
Hey, Sean.
Yeah, always good. Chris Thompson.
Hey, hey.
Chris Thompson is a writer with a slightly different personality than Sean Dunwoody, but I love them both. Hi, Chris.
Yeah, I'm the Batman to Sean Superman. So I'm
just That's so good. That's so good because, there's a bit of a theme here with superheroes. Chris, how did you end up hooking up with this project and getting this opportunity?
Amanda called me and said Sean Dunwoody's name, and I was like, I'm in. That was pretty much and then, like, when we went out, you know, it was a little bit of time because I was in the hospital for a little bit, but then, like, we went out, and Arturo Hoyt, the photographer, who's, like, phenomenal, took me around town, showed me a lot of Sean's stuff, and then Sean explained, like, where he got his inspiration and everything to do all his murals. And then I just started writing, like, almost the next day.
What did
actually,
you...
I think it was the night of.
What's that, Chris?
I think it was actually the night of I started writing notes and everything. But
can I read the your first paragraph on an essay you wrote on Sean? Can I do that?
Sure.
Oh no! Hold on. That's why I'm asking, Amanda Chestnut. I don't know if it's in or out of bounds.
No. As long as we are aware that it is in editing, and we have, because chapbooks are small things, we have a limited amount of space for characters, so it might be different in the final draft.
Okay, I hear that. I hope I wasn't stepping on any toes. I just
no. Go ahead.
I have such appreciation for this. So let me go ahead and read what Chris is writing about Sean. Quote: I saw Sean Dunwoody all around the city before formally meeting him. Vibrant words of encouragement and praise for Rochester are found all over the city, giving life to erstwhile dull walls. As a newcomer to the area, they comforted me that I made a good decision moving to Rochester. Sean Dunwoody's murals are like the calling cards of a mysterious superhero. End quote. I love that, and I wonder how Sean, what do you make of that, Sean Dunwoody?
It's amazing. Chris is phenomenal. Love you, bro. It was great to have Arturo on board. And Amanda, thanks you for putting together this project and making it happen. It was just a great energy. We sat down, we talked, we walked, we had wings, we had a beverage together. It was good to actually get to know Chris as well, and for he as well to get to know a bit more about myself. So it was a great exchange. I enjoyed the opportunity.
And, you know, as we've talked about your own life on this program before, you are no stranger to the idea of becoming a superhero, huh? How far back does that go with you?
Oh, that goes way back. It goes to my classic story of trying to inject myself with spider blood when I was 5 years old. But since I can't climb on walls or swing from, I'm afraid of heights. So I try to put some super work on the walls and work with communities as best I can.
Chris, I know you also have some affinity for the genre. How much do you feel connected to Sean based on the love of the superhero?
I mean, that was like, I think that was like one of my favorite things about Sean is like when I first actually met him in person, he already kind of looked like a superhero. Like, he came into the room with, you know, his signature look is like, you know, a shirt and bow tie, but this bow tie was made completely out of Lego bricks. After that, I was like, I need to know this person. And then, like, when he did the superhero, the historic Rochester people as superheroes, we connected then. When we were walking around town for Super City, which was like last year, we were connected then. So, like, it's kind of like, I don't know, I think, you know, blurs gravitate to other blurs, and my blur bar was very high talking to Sean.
Sean, I'll ask you what I asked Herb. You know, this summer has been more than any, you know, at least in my lifetime, filled with an urgency and a movement toward change. Tragedy, of course, but also, you know, maybe the kind of movement that actually produces real change. How are you feeling this summer about what you're seeing in your country, Sean Dunwoody?
Whoa. How am I feeling? I don't know. There's that depends on the time of the day and what hour and whatever else is going on in the world. So it changes. But right now I'm feeling tense, anxious, but also excited and optimistic at the same time. People are are coming to a light that people of color, brown skin people, actually have a lot to contribute and say in this community, and always have. We've actually built this dang on country, and I think that's very important for people to understand and recognize and see how we can work together to further this country and this world. As a unit, as human beings supporting one another. And going back to earlier, I think someone said earlier about, you know, folks putting out their Black Lives Matter sign on their lawn. That's a fantastic step and gesture, but don't replace people with signs. Always think about the people when you're making that move. Think about the people, the lives that you're actually trying to bring attention to. Don't forget about the people. Don't let placing your lawn sign out say that you've made a drastic change in the world. Go out and make some change is what I want to address some listeners here. But I'm just really feeling like we've got to really got to take steps forward to actually change the future for our children's children so that this place becomes way better than what the heck it is right now.
Chris Thompson, this is an artist whose work is, I mean, just about everybody listening knows Sean Dunwoody's work, whether you know it or not, because it's so public now. You know, some artists' work stays generally in studios or in galleries. Sean's work is ubiquitous, and some of it is, a lot of it's big and colorful. It's not always in conventional settings and spaces, and there's so much of it, but I wonder if you can talk to me a little bit, Chris, about where you maybe find the most compelling piece. What we find on Scio Street and you know, maybe what it means to see just the word enough. Tell me about that.
It almost brought me to tears. Like, I see a lot of Sean's work, like some of the signature of it is that it's always just like super bright, vibrant colors. Like even on Scio Street, like it starts with like a play on like Reese's Pieces about how he loves Rochester the Pieces all the way across. And they just get to the word enough. And it's in just like, it's in black background. Like, I think it's about like 6 or 8 feet tall, like black mural. And then just the word enough that just pops out and it looks like it's almost floating in front of you. Like how bright it is, even though he's using just earth tones or just like different skin tones, like from dark brown to light brown to like a creamy color, just like popping out at you. And what people did was like write in chalk behind, like in the black, like different people's names or like, you know, someone. I saw one that said, "I love you." And all of it just like kind of was faded out just because of the rain and everything. And it just it struck me even more than like, you know, even one of his biggest pieces. You know, it just pulled some emotion out of me that I didn't realize. Well, I knew I had it, but I didn't expect for it to like flood in, you know, so suddenly just by seeing. Like, I'm tearing up now to think about it.
Wow. Sean, you want to share some of your own thoughts on that?
Just doing that enough. It was it was a time where there was so much unrest and so much uneasiness, and everyone's being confined, and people were asking me opinions about things, and I just didn't want to say anything until I knew what to say. And I was literally scrolling through Twitter, and a friend of mine, Quajay, a great photographer, he's actually part of this project as well. He just said enough in his feed, and I said that's what it is. That's what I'm feeling. I've had enough. And so I wanted to put these words on the wall, as Chris said, using these various skin tones, and give people the opportunity to vent, to communicate, to have this exchange, because we couldn't actually interact with one another at that time. So it was great for people to leave messages for individuals, for people to read that, and just asking folks, what do you have enough of? You've had enough of racial inequality. I've had enough of disparaging communities. Or there is enough food to feed people in the world, or there is enough money to help communities. So it was really about how people wanted to express enough. And then that led to the larger project of painting Martin Luther King Park all black, the bowl of it all black, where most of the gatherings and protests happen, so they can help to amplify the voices. Because once that energy's left after the rallies, you want to be able to have the energy there, so people are always chalking messages and of inspiration or whatever it may be, even to, you know, books that should be read this summer, which actually the library ended up putting in the free library near to it. So this is ways to actually get people to communicate in this time where we're supposed to be distant, as well as understanding what's happening when you're not there, because some folks might be afraid to go to rallies or can't make it there. And this gives this connectivity to the movement so people can understand what people's feelings are.
Well, Sean Dunwoody, one of the black leaders profiled as part of In This Moment, Revolution, Reckoning, and Reparation. And Amanda Chestnut and Gene Strazabasco are the curator and producer of In This Moment. And in our last minute or so, we're going to close the hour with some final thoughts from Amanda Chestnut about what you want the public to know about not only this work, but what it stands for and what you hope it might do when it finally when we can finally see more of it.
This work stands for this work is important in that it's uplifting and elevation of work that is being done, that needs to be done, that's often done from a place of passion with not a lot of support because it's right to do. And I hope to not only be able to highlight those voices, but to inspire more people to join them as well.
Well, I want to thank all of our guests for making the time. Gene Strazabasco, sorry about your Italian vacation, but not all that sorry, it turns out. Thank you. Not at all. Thank you, Gene, the producer of In This Moment, for sharing your insight and for being with us. Amanda Chestnut, the curator, thank you for this. And one more time, the website for people to keep an eye out for, Amanda?
You can go to vsw.org to support the project in their bookstore, or you can follow my social media at BLK_Amanda on Instagram and Twitter.
Thank you, Amanda. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much for having us.
Sean Dunwoody, I agree with Chris Thompson. I love those signature superhero threads of yours, and I look forward to seeing them in person one day soon. Thanks for making time on the phone.
Thank you very much, Evan. Thank you, Evan.
Chris Thompson, always good. Thank you for making time, sir.
Thank you. I appreciate the invite.
Outstanding group this hour. Nice way to end your week here. Important stuff and powerful art, images, and writing about Black leadership in Rochester. Rob Braden is the engineer of Connections. Megan Mack is the producer. I'm Evan Dawson. Hope you have a nice weekend. And we're back with you on Member-Supported Public Radio on Monday.